These old, dried up, religious folk set in their stinking ways are not going on this journey. I'm a bridge preacher. I'm bridging across to the young man to bring him over into the promised land. This is the generation of Caleb and Joshua that's talking to the young men to say, don't join under that stuff. Don't try to be ordained by them. Don't go to their stinking seminaries. Don't try to conform to that dummy in the pulpit trying to make you be like him, because he's going to sodomize you spiritually and make you into a girl. Come over here and let God fabricate into you manhood, grow your gonads back, so you can be a man of God full of the Holy Ghost and represent Christ. Yes. Not follow behind some sissy with affectations that needs you as a cheerleader to make himself feel better about himself because he knows he's incapacitated. See, a weak link man always tries to suppress and dominate other men. Yeah. Because I'm not a man in my own right, I got to suppress your manhood to make me somebody. I gotta be somebody at your expense. But a guy that's whole don't need no other man to suppress, because I'm a whole man myself. I don't need you to sign off on me. I don't need your amens, your accolades. I don't need you to accommodate me. You be you and be a man. You can't blame me for anything, because God gave you a pair of gonads just like he gave me. Don't tell me nothing about nothing I did to you. Stand up and be a man yourself then. Christ, I should have done nothing. You should have done it. What you're talking to me about it for? With your gutless, spineless self. See, ain't nobody to blame in this, buddy. The head of every man is Christ. You blame anybody, you blame Christ for your incapacitation if he's your head. What you talking to another man about it for? Why did I do nothing? I'm not responsible for you and your home. Folks come to me trying to get me to tell another man something. You wasting your breath. A lot of wives don't come to me. My husband, I don't care nothing about your husband. I don't live with your husband. That's your problem. You married him. I don't need to tell him nothing. See, you make your bed, cause you sleep in that bed. Stop blaming other folk for what you did to you. Look what he says. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished, it's swept empty and decorated. Then he goes and takes to himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And he said in another passage, even shall it be unto this wicked generation. That's what's going to happen to this world. God comes, delivers them, they go back. And the devil comes in reinforced and stronger than ever before. Compromise. You compromise 1 inch, the devil's going to take a mile. I'm going to show you the safety valve that God has built into this in just a minute. That safety valve is the word of God. I don't care if the strobe lights are flashing. I don't care if the smoke machines are billowing. I don't care if everybody in there is shouting and jumping and running and talking about the Lord and prophesying and speaking in tongues. If they speak not according to the law and the prophets, let them be accursed. God's safety valve is the word of God. Because you don't feel about the word of God, you obey it. When people can draw you into your feelings, they got you. God is not going to judge the world based on his feelings. He's going to judge you according to what? That word. So when the guy's standing there telling me that a woman can be a pastor, not according to the word of God, she can. It doesn't matter how you feel about it, how your woman or your wife convinced you of this, or you've been a mama's boy your whole life and been castrated. It don't matter that you're sleeping with three women in the church is making you have to compromise. See, that's why you saying all this, because you compromised. Because you can't stand in the inferno, of affliction, because I'm trying to compromise not to stand against the strongest force on this earth right now, which is a feminine takeover. The guys have become more woman-like than the women. You get most of your hatred venting on the truth from guys who are feminine. That's the ones that are trying to make you believe that my grandmama can be a pastor, my wife is a pastor, my mama a pastor. No, you a whipped mama's boy. What's wrong with you? Your gonads been cut off. And now you want everybody to be castrated like you. Buddy, I ain't letting you castrate me. You might have put that sword up. You're castrated when you're cut off from the word of God. You compromise it, the devil's got you. That's why when the devil confronted Jesus, it is written. See, that's what anchored him. It don't matter if it's Old or New Testament. Because the Bible is pulled up by the Spirit as necessary, Old and New Testament. The letter killeth. The Spirit brings the letter alive. You can ask the devil out of Genesis. And it will be a weapon of war in your hand. It'll be a sword in your hand because the Spirit pulled it up.
Yes.
You got to know this. It's the word of God that is the sword of the Spirit. The Bible told you in Ephesians chapter 6, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Meaning you got to anchor that word in your heart. You got to have that word driven so deeply inside of you that whatever environment you in, you got to let that word be talking to you. No, that ain't right right there.
That's right.
See, once you were saved, you were always saved. That's a damnable lie birthed in hell right there, because the Bible don't justify that. No, man. Too many things about the Bible saying, if you stay in the faith, if you continue on in the faith, you got to stay in this thing. If you endure to the end, you shall be saved. And you telling me I'm always secure? The Bible, man, is fighting you in my mind while you're talking. I don't have to try to do anything. The Bible itself will just lift it and raise up in you. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost will call all things to your remembrance. You put it in you, meditate it down into you deeply, and buddy, when you're in an environment where when somebody's trying to pull you away from the word, that word will come up in you all by itself. It's a safeguard. God gave the word to divide the nations. What did he divide? He divided between saints and sodomites. Can't you see the word of God has sanctified you? Is separated you from the sodomites? What's wrong with these churches? They're full of sodomites. That woman pastor said there was a church full of lesbians. Girl with a crew cut with a mohawk growing out of down the middle of her head. The main one saying amen. Covered in tattoos. Can't you see that the false church sires two things? Whores and abominations according to Revelations. Whores and homosexuals govern the false church. And guess what? In that environment, you know what the calling card is? Nobody can judge. Who's to say who's not saved? God is all inclusive. They don't preach anything absolute. Because we got too many sodomites in here that will offend. As a matter of fact, the woman preacher is the queen of the sodomites. Lead the church with an entourage of whores and lesbians behind her. As mother leads us down the aisle. And you better not say anything about her. That's the same way Hillary gonna file through here in a minute. That deal going out in November, Hillary in. Pack your stuff, because we're heading north. And that ain't on the earth nowhere. We headed toward the heavenlies, because that's God's final give up on America. That's his final judgment. That's God telling you, I'm through with it.
Amen.
You want Saul? I give you Saul. You want to have a feminine hierarchy, a female dominatrix over you? Have it, good buddy. knock yourself out. But me, I'm getting as far away from this as I can. And the way you get away right now is to fast and pray your way out of it. You got to sanctify and cauterize your heart right now that you ain't a part of nothing. I don't have no ponies in this race. Like they say, when you're gambling, I got no skin in the game. I got no money in it. I don't have nothing to do with this. I'm not Democrat, nor am I Republican. That's y'all's thing. Y'all can have it. Knock yourself out with it. So you see now, saints are separated from sodomites. Religion is separated from relationship by the word of God. Sinners, this is the big one right here. Sinners are separated from repentant saints. You know what's wrong with that? The false church? Nobody has repented. In the gospel, the first thing out of anybody ministering the gospel's mouth was repent. Turn away from sin. Turn away from every filthy thing on this planet. Folks are trying to, like Clendenin just said it, you bring them to the altar, they can confess of Jesus and bring him into what they already are. That's what once saved, always saved is birthed out of. I just brought Jesus into what I already am. I received him. And now I just add him to what I already am. And I'll be at the Sade concert tonight. I'll watch the same filth on TV. I'm still a fan of Empire. You bring up these topics in church, you know what these preachers stay away from? They will not pinpoint sin. You saved? You cannot go to the formation tour with Beyonce. Well, she's a Christian. They will tell you immediately that Beyonce is a Christian. Butt naked, twerking like a dog, thong strap up the crack of a butt. That's a saint of God. And they'll hate me for bringing it up. Why? Because they haven't repented. They're not saved. These are just hypocrites, play acting. And Jesus vented on hypocrites in the Bible above anything else. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Play acting, hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. God is an expert at reading folk mail. You thought you said something over there in the corner and nobody heard. You could have whispered it to yourself. And God will come back and tell you exactly what you just said. Now you're wondering, like, how did they know that? Because he's going to tell you about yourself. These folk are deceiving themselves, hypocriting around, pretending to be what they know they're not. Nobody knows you're lost like you do. And they will just go on play acting till the grave, die play acting, go to hell, having deceived themselves all along the trail, pretending like it was real. You got to have a real encounter with a living being called God to know that you're saved. You got to really meet him. For real, God is alive. Jesus can walk into your house tonight if he wants to. You got to have an encounter with the living God. To seal off of your salvation, not hypocrite around and pretend you know something about him that you don't. Well, the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 tell us, he tells us, don't go there, another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. Can't you see the devil set up a parallel kingdom with a false Jesus in it? A false Holy Ghost baptism with talking in tongues? And another gospel. So you got another, what's this other gospel? We got to examine this. If there's another gospel, what is that other gospel? It's the gospel of the sodomites, void of repentance, that makes everybody saved. And anybody that says you're not saved is judging you. that's the other gospel. It's damning hundreds of millions of people to hell. Instinctively, you knew you were in sin and you needed a savior in the world. When you got saved, you came and got saved because you knew the state you were in. Can't you see that the convicting power of the Holy Ghost came on you to show you your dire need of salvation? How could a person sit next to you not experience that and say they're saved? When you knew you were pitiful and pathetic, you were dirty and low down, your life had degraded into a level of depravity that you never thought possible. How did I get way down here into this? And you cried out to be saved from your sins. Salvation itself is saving from sin, not saving from hell. You need to be saved from sin. That's what's killing you. Getting out of hell is just a benefit. The sin is killing me. The depravity, the filthiness, I'm becoming a freak. The perverse activity I'm engaging in. How did I become this? I need somebody to save my soul. And the person sitting next to you is cavalier, dressing the same, wearing the same, going the same places, cursing folk out, going to the Beyonce concerts, drinking down Lil Wayne and Tupac and Jay-Z. And how are you the same person that they are? And you microscopically looking through you to find out if there's any vestige left of any sin in you, and they just enjoying sin. And I was saved years ago. Once saved, always saved. Now I'm just enjoying sin. I shack up with my girlfriend. Got another woman I see across the way. I got three babies by her. And I'm going out to Vegas this weekend with some strippers. But I'm saved. That's what we're really looking at. This is really happening. I'm not making this up. So you see now why they're going to vent on the real church, because you have the audacity to believe in holiness. What happens? In Luke 7, you go back a couple of pages to Luke 7. I'll give you the outline of it. Luke 7. Read this and study this in your own study time. Jesus talks about John the Baptist. He talks about who John the Baptist was and how he came in the power of God. And John's messengers came to him and asked him, are you who we're looking for? Are we searching for another one? And he says, no, man, I'm doing all these miracles. Tell John the Baptist, I'm here, man. But look what happens with religious people down in verse 33 of chapter 7 of Luke. Verse 33 says, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking wine, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified over children. Let me tell you something. There's no way to relate to a person that's not saved. A religious mind, you'll either be the devil or a sinner, because they're not saved themselves. They're just religious. You got folks all over the place sitting in high chairs talking about you drunk a glass of wine. See, they would have just put Jesus in hell. If it's non-alcoholic wine, why even bring it up? How can a wine bibber be guilty of drinking grape juice? You filthy grape juice drinker, you Welsh's grape juice drinker. You see how stupid that is? But a religious mind is so dumbed down with a bunch of religious dogma and data that's because they are actually focused in on self-righteousness. I'm the standard, and I begin to dictate to you. Instead of letting the kingdom come in them so Jesus Christ can channel himself through them to reach folk, they become the standard of righteousness, and all they do is accuse folk. John the Baptist is the devil because he came. He didn't eat nor did he drink. He was an outsider, so he wasn't of us. He's the devil. And you come talking to sinners and drinking wine, you're the devil. He says, but wisdom is justified of the children of that particular wisdom. That particular doctrine and dogma That's the wisdom they're calling from their denominational brainwashing. Now I become this self-righteous person walking around accusing everybody. Now that's the other extreme of don't judge anything. Now you judge according to human intellect and your own self-righteousness, not the righteousness of God by faith. I'm the standard, not Jesus. That's why you got to know what? The character of Jesus reflected in the Bible. You saw him drinking wine. So when they tell you, you're going to hell if you drink a glass of wine, well, you tell them, well, Jesus drank a glass of wine. He's in hell right now then, according to you.
He made it.
That's Bible. You just read it. It ain't grape juice. It's wine. Jesus at a marriage feast making wine, not grape juice.
Good wine.
You know how many people have written long commentaries trying to prove it was just grape juice? Telling Timothy, drink a little wine for your infirmity, the infirmities of your stomach. You know why? Because fermented wine that's alcoholic has probiotics in it. It'll help your stomach digest better because he had some kind of a digestion problem. And the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, drink a little wine. That'll help your digestion, son. I don't want to say that. I don't want it to say that because I'm putting everybody that drinks a glass of wine with their fish dinner into hell. Bless God. Religion will drive you crazy. That's why I'm telling you to get to the Lord for yourself. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Walk with the Lord. And don't go horizontal with people. This is a perfect safety valve. I'm vertical with God. He has anointed me and given me the ability to see things from his perspective. I walk with him. And I don't let stuff influence me from around me. I just walk on with the Lord. Everybody like that will walk together in unison with God. Because you're not here trying to fit in, trying to belong, trying to live up to your apostolic father and all this other. Because all he's going to do is put junk on you, burdens that you can't bear up under, and you're going to try to perform for him. He's going to be dead. Now who are you going to submit to? I need eternal power governing me, not some joker going to die next week. To get into this, you got to dig deeper. You got to tap into that gold in your spirit, man, for you to hit pay dirt. Look at Matthew 17. We're getting ready to wrap it up. Matthew 17. You got to hit this gold because without this, we don't have a chance. Because we're coming up against different kinds of entities now that are powerhouses and strong. And we got to make a stand, man, like never before. Look at Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, "Faith, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil. Now, you know, behind the scenes, here's an invisible metaphysical entity, a devil at work now. He rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by what? There's a mystery right there. There must be a mystery. Because the man said, the devil wouldn't go out because of my unbelief. Then he says, the thing can't go out but by prayer and fasting, giving me the revelation of what?
Prayer and fasting
must increase my belief. It must destroy unbelief. How does it do that? because I've gone metaphysical and crossed over from the realm of the carnal mind to the spiritual mind, and all the spiritual mind can do is believe. What's wrong with church? Folks are too cotton picking fat. That fat all over you is indicative of the fact that you're an unbeliever. Because if you are a believer, you spend your time in fasting and prayer, so that when you encountered any entity, you had power over that entity. The church is too fat because food is the god of the American. Their god is their belly. We glory in our shame. We mind earthly things. Fasting and prayer is the key to the faith necessary to have power over the devil. You overcome the devil according to what you believe and who you believe in. Amen. So he tries to short circuit your belief by getting you filled with everything other than the belief. And he knows if I can get you to worship anything but Jesus, you won't have power. That's why I say you've got to dig deeper. How do you dig deeper? Prayer and fasting. It's like somebody with a shovel, shoveling dirt. I'm going to find this gold. You see some gold 500 feet down below the ground? I'll be out here tomorrow morning. Still digging. See, if he tells me in Mark 16, 15 through 20 that these finds follow them to believe, them that believe, unbelief you can't cast out a devil. These signs follow them that believe, unbelief you can't cast out a devil. These signs follow them that believe, unbelief you can't cast out a devil. These signs follow them that believe. Then I gotta keep shoveling that dirt until I see. You lay hands on the sick, they recover. Cast out demons, I speak with new tongues. No, you don't talk in tongues, you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, because you ain't digging deep enough. Because you ain't fasting and prayer seeking God until he comes upon you. When I got the Holy Ghost, I was locked up in an Air Force barracks down to 110 pounds, begging God like a dog for the Holy Ghost. Can't you see, he told the woman, I can't give the children bread to the dogs. He said, nonetheless, I tell you what, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table. You ain't going to turn me away, Lord, with that kind of talk. You talk all the hell you want to. I came to get what I want, and I want what I ask for. You can talk all that stuff you want to, Lord. You can try to turn me aside all you want. You are not going to leave until you bless me. I came requiring something, and I need it. You can put me down all you want. Call me a dog all you want. Well, give me the crumbs then. If you can't give me a steak, you can't give me the full meal, give me the crumbs off the table then. That's digging deep, man. You got to keep digging deep. Folk give up too soon. The Bible says, through patience, you possess that soul. Through patience, you grab a hold of the promises. You got to keep enduring, man, until you get a hold of what he said. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you'll speak in new tongues. You'll cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick. They will recover. You eat or drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. If I'm not experiencing that, then either Jesus is a black liar or I haven't hit pay dirt yet. It's one or the other now. But look how religious folk tell you, it don't take all that. You ain't got to talk no tongues of the devil. You ain't got to talk no tongues. The healing that went out with the apostles. See, that's the devil in the pulpit. Telling you, don't seek after, don't dig deeper. Don't go deeper till you hit gold, pure gold, 24 karat gold, until what the Bible says happens to you. See, the Bible is inconsequential unless it happens to me and for me. It's a meaningless book unless it happens to me. I don't care what Peter and James and John did. Have I done it? Has it happened to me? I don't want to hear about some theoretical baptism in the Holy Ghost. Have I been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Right. Yes. The apostle says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than ye all. That's right. Not somebody telling you how tongues ain't up for the day. No. See, folks in that charismatic movement, that's folk who ain't got it. Everybody trying to say something detrimental about it don't have it.
That's right.
You never find somebody talking in tongues telling you tongues ain't for the day. But you got to keep mining. You got to put that little hard hat on with that light in front of it. And buddy, you got to keep digging. I ain't got what I want yet. I'm going to keep digging till I want to fast for 2 days. I'm going back on for 3 next week. I'm going back on for 5. I'm going to stay in for a month this time. I'm going to go. Somebody going to answer me from somewhere. Somebody going to tell me something from heaven. I got to hear from heaven. Look at all the problems and mess you got around you. Look how insane your kids are. Somebody got to dig for some gold, man. Look how crazy your husband or wife is. You better dig for some gold. Sickness, disease, infirmity. You got to keep digging for that gold. We got to hit pay dirt. Pay dirt is when you finally get a scoop of dirt and there's some gold in it. You still ain't got the main vein. You got a few chips of gold telling you you're getting closer to pay dirt. That's when you wake up at night and something is coming to your room and this thing, you feel that power flowing through you. That's God telling you you're getting close. Then when you get up scared, man, I got up, man, something came in my room, it was vibrating all over my body, and I'm gonna stop all this fasting stuff, man. Sure. I don't know, man. This thing kind of scary. You know what's really scary? Walk outside right here and look around. This is scary. Go to Walmart. This is scary. It's scary in Walmart. We got nothing to lose. Somebody asked me one time about something coming in the room, was it God or the devil? I said, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if it's God or the devil? Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Well, what difference does it make? You got power of the devil, and God is your friend. So what difference does it make? I'm inviting anything when I come across, come on across. Well, you know, something might jump into you, some demon or something. Well, God ain't got no power then. What difference does it make now? It's the end of the road. We got nothing to lose. Why do you think God let you lose everything? Foreclose on your stuff. Take your house. Take your car. Break up in relationship. Marriages fall apart. He don't intervene. You know why? Because he's telling you, ain't nothing down here. Only when you let go of the stuff does it stop mattering and you can live again. When you got folk on pressurize you about losing stuff, tell them to come get the stuff. We're going to foreclose on you. Take your house. The key's on the countertop, man. The key's in the ignition on the car out front. You don't need no tow truck trying to break into my car. The key's in the ignition. Y'all can drive it off. Don't even send no tow truck. They'll drive it away. Care nothing about none of this junk. Most of this stuff is a stumbling block, and it's just idols that you feel about it. If you deliver yourself from feeling about stuff, you'll be free. Most problems are not even real. It's just what you feel about it. That's what's making it intense on your life. You feel something about it. You don't believe that? Have a no good guy bothering you. No man could have a no good man that was been bothering him. When she start feeling about that joke, he ain't gonna matter at all. The only reason he matters is because you feel something about it. Anything you don't feel about loses power over you immediately. So that thing tells me I got to go into the inner man and dig deep enough to expunge my feelings from dominating me. I'm free at that point. You know what else you'll be like? You can tell somebody anything. Because I don't care how you feel about it.
Amen.
I don't care how you roll your eyes, how you look at me, how you sigh. It don't matter. I'm going to tell you anything God tells me to tell you, and I don't care what you feel about it. Because I don't care what I feel about it. Man, you're free. You're the perfect vessel for God because you don't let your feelings dominate you. What's the devil done? He's crafted a gospel void of John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, which says what? Love not the world, not the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Everything in the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life thereof, the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God lives forever. See, they don't bring up the sin in services. They just preach the blessings and what God's going to do for you and what he's going to give you. A false prophet, you know what a false prophet always prophesies? Blessings. how the Lord got money coming your way, how you're going to be married next year. They'll never tell you anything about sin, but check the prophets out in the Bible. All they talked about was sin. They leave out James 4:4. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You got a friend in the world that's a sinner. How can you affiliate with that sinning friend and just ride down the street and go to the movies with them and just hang out with them? See, it's not that you're not ministering to them, but you can't hang with them. Because there's no compatibility. You're a friend of the world. That means that you drive down the street as the enemy of God. At some point, we got to get some golden saints. That's what we need. We need golden saints. Folk who have pressed through until they hit pay dirt and they got gold. When you're gold, you're spirit more than flesh and carnality. When you're gold, you've dug deep enough to hit that main vein of riches. Whereby this world is dim to you. We're moving methodically. See, you got to understand, everything we're doing now is preparation for God to move. God ain't moved yet. We're sitting here broadcasting by way of live stream, preparing these folk. I had a dream last night, and I saw the moving bands coming into town with folks moving in. They had trailers moving in here. This thing gonna come from places, man, you won't even begin to fathom. But sitting right here, will you be ready? When this thing really jumps off, will you still be hanging around talking about, I thought, man, I never thought it'd get to this. Look. You better be so far into this that if 10,000 people roll in here, you don't care about none of them. I'm in this thing for me. This ain't no numbers type thing. Numbers, you can get big and it be nothing but a swelling that comes from infection. This thing got to be in you. When you dig deep, don't dig outside in your backyard. You got to dig down into you. You got to bypass this flesh, bypass the soul till you get to your spirit. Most folk receive soul power as spirit. It feels good. It emotionally worked me up. It entertained me. The spirit sure did move. It was just soul power. Tap into your spirit. You know how you hit pay dirt? Because the supernatural now engages. You laying hands on folk and they really recovering. Blind eyes are really opening. But you can't get involved in it. You can't sell out to that. Don't go over there where these things matter. God can raise the dead. Don't let it matter because it's temporal to God. You think miracles impress God? If it don't impress God, it don't impress me. See, having never walked in it and seen it, most folk, it sounds like a big deal to them. But you'll find out anything you do on earth, I don't care how supernatural it is going to lose its ability to enthrall you. If you raise a dead person today, you raise 2 tomorrow, 10 next week, by next year you raise 500 dead people, it's going to be old to you. You're going to say, man, this show, yeah, I thought it was a big deal, but they're raising dead folk. It really don't do nothing for you, man, you know. That's what God knows that already. It ain't that big of a deal. This is the things that are germane to the normal Christian in your Bible. How can we be so far away that the things that happen on a daily basis in the Bible doesn't happen at all to us? Because we got to dig deeper. These things are real, but they don't lie on the surface. You got to dig deeper until you tap into your own vein of gold within you. You're a spirit. If you've been born again, God really lives in your spirit for real. Yeah. There's an enthroned God in your spirit. Understand this about your spirit. Your spirit transcends dimensions. You can see God. The man said, I was in the spirit and the Lord. Do you know what he had done? He had denied himself. He was probably on that Isle of Patmos fasting. Yeah. He released himself from the normal natural world. And began to go inside of himself to where God was enthroned. Now see, the fake, make-believe version of that is what Oprah Winfrey tells you. You got a Christ consciousness, you got Christ in you, you are Christ yourself. And you need to get in touch with the inner self. See, this cloak is so close to being real, see, that it can deceive you because you're really seeking self-empowerment. It's all about you. But when you're seeking Christ, you're going to lose consciousness in this world. You're going to lose consciousness of self, and you'll become conscious of Jesus Christ through his word. Don't try to fabricate any quest for God without being anchored in that word first. You've got to meditate in that word day and night to have good success. You can't go into the spirit world not anchored to the word of God, because there are a lot of deceiving spirits that will mimic angels, real angels. The devil will come as an angel of light telling you he's Jesus. But you got to know that word. Because that joke is going to somewhere take you away from that word now. You got to be anchored in that word. Let the word anchor your spirit. So that if you engage in spiritual activities, visions, visitations, you anchored in the word of God. So you won't be caught up in a bunch of spiritual stuff happening to you. You read the Bible, you know spiritual things have to happen to us to win this war.
Yes.
But you got to be anchored in the word.
Yes.
Don't get off of that word. Because that's the anchor that's going to hold you. You don't want to be on the Isle of Patmos and seeing visions and loud voices talking to you and angels walking up on you and the word is not anchoring you. Because the devil will come as an angel of light and his ministers come as ministers of righteousness to deceive you. But there's no other way to do this. I'm not trying to instill fear because it can't be done any other way. I'm just telling you, you better get in that Bible. Don't read it. Live in it. Meditate on it. I carry a little Bible around me every day. I go home, I read it every day. I'm reading it on my own, little small little Bible, just meditating on it. Because that Bible got to keep going through you, man, over and over again. Books of the Bible, verses of the Bible, anchoring your soul. Because we're going to go into a volatile environment. What's going to happen next? We're about 6-7 months away from an election. What's it, May, June, July, August, September, October? 6 months out. You see, the thing has been like wildfire burning up to this point. It's crazy. You've never seen anything like this before in your lifetime. That's telling you that it's a volatile spiritual war afoot right now. You can't see clearly what's going on. But I know a woman dictating and leading a country is a cursed thing. We can eliminate that. That can't be God. Trump, crazy a little bit, a little nutty, but Trump carries the vignette of manhood that he's married to a woman. He's got kids and he's got grandkids and he's got an outline of a patriarchal family right there. I'm not saying he's saved, he's a saint of God. I'm just saying he carries the vignette and the outline of a patriarchy. You can kind of work with that. He might be used by God to tap the brakes. He's not going to stop the bus, but he might tap the brakes. Slow it down to let other people get on. You see, because if God lets this thing go full tilt, it's going to end the world. People are going to be damned.
Yeah.
I mean, with 3,200 babies killed every day, if God taps the brakes, that's the mercy and grace of God. Tap man. No brakes, man. Because God got every right to destroy this place with nobody questioning him, not one inch. He should destroy this place.
Yes.
If he taps the brakes and slows it down, that's the divine intervention of a merciful God doing that. You got loved ones that would go to hell tonight if God destroyed this place. If he taps those brakes, it's answering the cries of the saints. That's why we pray 6 nights a week. That's why we've upgraded to 7 nights a week, because we know that only the saints can ask God, don't let these folk be destroyed. See, everybody thinks they can handle hell till they get there. An inferno all the time. Living in an inferno. Who knows the heat in hell? 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit? 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit? Heat that you can't even fathom. Who knows what kind of heat a spirit can take? I mean, if he made a sun, look, what if he dropped the heat of the sun into hell? You in that. And the Bible talks about wailing and gnashing of teeth. A man in hell said, send somebody down here with a drop of water to cool my scorching tongue. He said, man, it's a gulf fist between you and folk that are righteous. Can't nobody come to hell to solve your problem? What is hell really like? And hell is real. It ain't theoretical. And then the contents of hell are going into a lake of fire. Who knows what that is?
Man.
So what I'm saying is this. God knows what it's like because he made it. For the devil and his angels. Now humans choose to follow the devil there. And the God didn't make it for humans. He made it for the devil and his angels. So therefore, if he taps the brakes, if in November you see Trump get elected, that's probably God tapping the brakes. It's not going to be perfect. Trump going to go with homosexual marriages and abortion and all of that. But it won't be governed by total feminine matriarchy. And if he tapped the brakes a little bit. You know, John F. Kennedy was a womanizer. He was a whoremonger. Bill Clinton. That's what Trump is now pounding right now. Well, you know, Bill Clinton was in the White House. He said one thing about him. He'll say things point blank range. Bill Clinton was in the White House with Monica Lewinsky, and he had all those women, and Hillary empowered him and supported him against those women. And you call her a friend of the women? That's what he said. He said that right now. And you think like, Trump is wild. But see, that's what they don't like about him. He won't let stuff just go away. He just says it. And they despise him for that because no tact, no couth. What's doing that? $7 billion doing it. That money. What y'all gonna do to me? I got all this money. I got a little jet parked down, about 3 or 4 parked on the runway. I don't need you. Now they're talking about the GOP gonna withhold funds from him. He don't care. Because you know all he gotta do is, if I'm Trump, this is what I do. I said, look, everybody supporting me, send in $100.
Yeah, 10. 5.
He don't need them.
5.
They know instinctively that this guy, the Speaker of the House, I think it's Paul Ryan, I'm going to withhold my support for Trump until I sit with him and get an understanding of where he's coming from and will he support the... You know, when you hear these words right here, these are cursed words whenever you hear them. The conservative agenda... They try to make that evangelical Christians. That's a bunch of punk boys. The conservative agenda is nothing but a bunch of faggots and punks and ain't got no guts. You know, when you hear a guy like Cruz talking, he sound like a little punk. He ain't got no guts. And America, we stand for the conservative principles of America. And that's, shut up. I don't hear that, man. I'd rather get a guy like Trump, a raw guy, just, hey, man, let's go over there and blow this. Let's go on and blow this up, man. Don't make no difference, man. You want a guy like that, man? You want a Patton? You want a MacArthur? You want a somebody that's got some guts? Eisenhower? Somebody, you know, just going, man. Don't talk. Man, you got time for all that, man. Just go and do the job, man. That's how Jesus moved through the earth. He didn't care about what you offended the Pharisees and Sadducees. I don't care nothing about them. What's the chaff to the wheat? Nobody's studying them. Nobody's thinking about them, man. Forget them. That's what he was saying. Here we are trying to be tolerant, use couth. That's why they won't have you on Anderson Cooper or talking to Don Lemon. Because I'm not going to talk to Don Lemon about topics. I'm talking to Don Lemon about Don Lemon.
Exactly.
Before you ask me anything, Don Lemon, ain't you a homosexual? Anderson Cooper, aren't you a homosexual? How do you have the moral authority to ask me anything?
Man.
Huh? How can you question anything I do when you are diametrically opposed to the word of God? God says you are standing, walking, talking abomination, man. Oh, let's cut the break. Let's cut the break. Let's cut the break. And immediately I'd be called judgmental, intolerant, hate monger. I just told the truth. But you know what it is? They want you to talk a certain way. You should be more tactful. And it's a way to speak to everyone. And you should, no man, these are raw sinners that despise Jesus Christ and hate your guts. And they're looking for a way to destroy you. You see how they hung around Jesus? The Bible says they hung around Jesus for what? Trying to catch him in his words. They were hanging around like they were part of the mass following him. They were trying to find a way to trip him up. So he's going to say something I can... What'd you just say, Jesus? No, we can't get him on that. Let's see if we can. Let's try to get him to say something else. You know. They were always trying to lurk in the shadows, trying to find a way to go to the folks on him and accuse him. So don't think any folk that you see on TV and these folks on folks trying to interview folk, these folks are bathed in evil. You see Megyn Kelly sitting there on Fox News? Evil. Because she bought in. You better monitor your job who bought in. Whoever bought in, they'll slit your throat. Because they bought into the evil empire. You got to know that, man. It's an evil place. It's lurking evil all around us. Dunamis Tabernacle is designed to set up a base camp to train folk to know you're in an evil place. Sanctify yourself. Live a life of fasting and prayer. Get along with God. Let God forge into you a new you so you can stand in the midst of this stinking, filthy world and stand for God and not care what anybody says about who likes you or who doesn't like you. That's a real Christian. Christians have bought the devil's definition of love, and now it took the fight out of them, so they compromise thinking they're showing love. Not me. I'm going to stand here and preach the word of God, the whole counsel of God, and it doesn't matter how I feel about it, you feel about it, or anybody feels about it. This is the way. You better walk in it. It's the word of God that does not downgrade itself for anybody. For you to have that kind of a power flowing out of you, you got to tap into pure gold. And to hit that pure gold, you got to dig deeper. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. Right now, God, take this word and use it like hands to mold us into another kind of person. Whenever the word of God is preached, Lord, it's always like hands molding the inside of us. We just don't know it. It's doing something to us, but we're not conscious of what it's doing. It's molding, it's fashioning, it's changing, it's modifying, it's transforming us into the image of Christ. All we got to do is yield to it and obey it, and it will mold us into thinking people who are a lot like what we used to be. God, right now, in Jesus' name, send the word, heal the folk, prepare vessels of honor. Let Ezekiel 37 come alive. Can these dry bones live?
Yes.
A scattered bunch of bones, the Bible says, and they were very dry. Man, this thing, the church is dead. It's a dead corpse with all the flesh rotted off of it, with bones scattered from here to the Middle East, to the Far East, to Africa, to South America, to Canada, to the Caribbean Islands. Bones. Bones. You said they're bones. You're saying the church is not even usable by God. Dead, dried up, withered, stinking, rotten bones. And we speak to the bones until they amalgamate, until they come together, until people get the impetus in them to move. It's people that are moved here as dry bones come alive and they begin to amalgamate, consolidate, come together on one accord. We're looking for the rest of the bones to come on in to do Dunamis Tabernacle. Come on in over here, what God has called you to be. Stop trying to weigh it in your mind and torment it in your mind. Man, get on the internet and find a job and get out of there. What are you doing? What are you sitting up there for? Why sit here like the leprous man until you die? We got to amalgamate these bones. Come out of that stinking, rotten religious system you're embedded in. That's trash. That tuning up and that fooling around in a pulpit is the workings of Satan through a moronic mind to make sure to bind you. Emotionally, now you can't leave because I might offend somebody. My mama goes here. My uncle goes here. My brother's the pastor. Man, you sitting up in the midst of dry bones, man. Get out of there and come over here where the water's about to flow. Because nobody's trying to hinder you. Nobody's trying to dominate you. Every person must be forged into an individual that holds the Holy Ghost in their own right. You are the lampstand that's got the oil in it. And you got to burn. You can't take a lampstand and put it under a bushel. Man, you got to be set out there on Main Street as a proclaimer of this word. God, from the east, the west, the north, and the south, amalgamate these bones. We speak to the bones. Bring them together, God. Put flesh on them. Stand them up. And let the Holy Ghost come upon these folk and raise them up as an army to represent you in these last days. Folks that have guts and a backbone to stand against the devil's invasion. This is an insurgence of the devil coming to take over the world. And somebody's got to stand up. The standard that you raise against the devil is the dry bones coming together. The enemy's in like a flood, and that army that stands up in Ezekiel 37 is the standard you raise against him. Spread out everywhere. Man, you live in England. Move from England over here, man. You live in Australia. Move from Australia over here. You live in South Africa. Get from South Africa. Get over here. I don't care where you're. Venezuela. Hawaii. Get out of there, man. The bones got to come together. I make no apology for it. People say, who do you think you are? I'm the guy telling you to get out of there and get over here. You ain't the only one. I might not be the only one, but I'm one of the ones. You better get over here. What you in is not good enough. You know it's dead. And you try to make it the same thing. When I'm telling you ain't the same thing you heard this morning, Sunday morning at church, get out of there. Stop kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself, and you know you are. It's time to make a decisive move. These dry bones have to live. In Jesus' name. Before we go, anybody not saved? By way of the internet, if you're not saved. Anybody not saved? You know you're not born again. You hang around trying to look and act saved, and on your way to hell. Stop sending yourself to hell. God ain't sending folk to hell. You send yourself as a hypocrite in church. The most damned people on this planet are the church folk. Because they have a veneer of self-righteousness painted over themselves to make themselves believe I'm saved. Now a ranked sinner that knows they're damned, they got a chance. But when you paint over a veneer of hypocrisy, you don't have a chance because now you think this is good enough and I'll make it. Man, you better come to terms with the fact that you're lost. God, the Holy Ghost ain't coming on lost folk. When he don't come upon you, he's telling you, I can't baptize you until you're in Christ. You're not even in Christ yet, pretending to be saved. That's pitiful. And you'll always drift back to folk like yourself and say they just condemn you over there and judge you so bad, and I don't think it's right how they talk to you, and you need to be born again. If you're not saved, we'll pray the prayer of faith for God to come upon you and save your soul. It ain't about joining nothing. I don't have nothing for nobody to join. If I tell folk to come here and deal with the Dunamis Tabernacle, don't join it because you can't join this. I'm talking about born again folk that mean business, that are ready to stand because of who they are. I don't have no membership list. I don't have no right hand of fellowship to offer nobody. You got to be born again. If you're not saved, you come up here now, we'll pray for you to be saved. If you're not saved, but we have the internet, stand where you are at home and we'll pray for you to be saved. You just got one shot. You missed this train, but you got no plan B. It's real. You can see the world right now corrupting and turning into hell. The environment is different now. The presidential election is different. Everything is going to be different from here on out. You better adapt to it and know God is on the move. He's organizing this church. And the devil, what he's doing right now, he's putting together his forces to stand against the church when it manifests. That's why it looks so strange. He's bringing enemies together. Remember, Herod and Pontius Pilate hated each other's guts until Jesus became a common enemy. Religion going to come together against Christ. Everything going to amalgamate against the Lord. So you better get in while the getting is good. I'll pray for you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Pray after me. Lord, receive my soul and save me from impending disaster. God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the manifested Son of God sent to me to save me. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent from all of my sins. I turn from the filth, the homosexuality, the lesbianism, the oral sex, the anal sex, the fornication, the perversion, the drug taking, the alcoholism, all the stuff, the pornography, all the stuff I'm engaged in, I turn away from it all. Save my soul from sin, God. As I receive Jesus as my Savior, he was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose the third day, and he has now come to me to save me. And I receive him as my Savior. God, don't let me be lost. Don't let me go back to what I was. From this point forward, change me into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I might be a part of the household of faith. I believe in you. I'm trusting you, God, according to your word, to save me, not according to my own righteousness, But because of what you said, I'm giving my life to you. Do with me as you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Going to wrap it up for today. Remember, conference coming May 27th through the 29th. Register now, www.omegaministries.org. Click on news and conferences and events. Also remember, Dunamis Tabernacle support it. Same website, support then donate. Remember, this is the month of a spiritual surge. Right now, the building fund is approaching $39,000. We need a surge, a spiritual surge. Somebody out there has $1 million to go ahead and get this facility and surge. Stop hanging on to your little money. Surge. You see what we preach, you see what we believe. We're not playing. It's time for people to either get in or get out. Don't keep listening to this if you're not in. Why torment yourself? T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, Juanita Bynum. You got a lot of them you can listen to. I'm not trying to be funny, but we're not here to torment you and make your life just so unbearable because you're trying to listen to something that you can't do it because you're not bought into this. Go ahead on with that. But those of you that mean business, a spiritual surge. Finances to bring this thing up to the forefront and then see God move as we get out of the way. It's time to see God on the move. Flesh has had its day and it stinks. I think Barbara's going to get together with people after the service. And we're going to make plans for people as far as assigning things for the conference. You know, we have a hospitality suite and we have different people bring different things to accommodate people who come out of town. So she's going to start getting that list together for things to put into the hospitality suite. I also want to wish everybody, every mother, a happy Mother's Day today. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Battery might have went out. Don't worry about it. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And remember, prayer Tuesday morning and Friday afternoon, Friday evening. We got to pray through. The prayer line is open every night, 9 o'clock, as we pray through this whole time frame to the conference that's coming online. So remember now, get with Barbara after the service to see what she has as far as assignments for the hospitality suite. See you back here next week. And remember, Bible study Wednesday night, 7:30. Be blessed. That battery might have went out. You think it did? Yeah, it's all. Yeah. Test 1, 2, test 1, 2.